Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Is that all you guys got? Are you even awake this morning?
Good morning.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Good morning.
Oh, awesome. Someone's awake. No. Shalom. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness and your love and your peace. Always being so faithful to us and always so true to your word. So we just give you the praise for being who you are. And Father, our ultimate Father, we just wish you the happiest day that we get to honor you and honor fathers today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so before I forget, I am not a billboard, but I'm a James Ward apparently. So Keith Wilson will be here next week, so I want to encourage you guys to come and hear him. You know, it'll be phenomenal, and you will really like him. And he's with Mission Dignity coming out of Texas, Arlington, Texas. So come see him and meet him, and you'll really love him. So I want to encourage you to that. Also, I'd like for someone to come forward. His name rhymes with entity.
Yay.
Name would be Trinity. Could you come forward real quick, buddy?
Okay.
So we actually have a graduate, but we also high school graduate. And all he does, and so he's always here, always smiling. He's a good man.
Amen.
And I honor him and appreciate him, and I know God loves him and honors him and appreciates him. And so thank you for all you do. We want to bless you. So I want everybody to stick their hands forward, and then we're gonna bless him, and we're going to pray for him, okay? So, Father, we thank you for Trinity. We thank you that you have a great purpose for his life and a plan for his life, and this is just the beginning. And just like his name is the Trinity, it's like he is complete. He has all of you in him, and we just bless him and his life and just ask that you guide his steps and just show off in his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We also have another graduate, Pastor Moses' daughter, Julia, graduated also. Congratulations, Julia. She's a graduate too. And so we want to honor her too. And so honor
you guys. And his son graduated from Harvard.
Your son graduated too from college?
Yes, from Harvard.
From Harvard. Congratulations. So, we're celebrating. That's like let's just get to the service and just go have a party. What do you think?
Excuse me, but we are having a little party after the service next week.
Oh, good to know.
The visiting pastors here. We're going to have sandwiches and fruit and whatnot.
Nice.
Okay,
so everybody bring somebody and we'll party.
Nice. Okay, do you hear? So we'll just party next week, right? Am I not on? Are you serious?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello? Hello? Okay, well, that was fun. So the video tech guy is not going to... He's like, you're making my job harder. So I'm so sorry, bro. So, but anyway, so I'm so excited for today, and I don't even know why. I used to drink water. You ever see, like I was watching on a video about this guy in Japan who would look at water, and he would look at it, and it had crystals, and it almost looks like snowflakes. And so he would speak to the water, and he'd say, I love you, you're so sweet, you're so good. And do you know what would happen to the crystals under the water? Is they would come to life, and they would just radiate and expand. And then he would take water and say, I hate you. you're rotten. And he's Japanese, so I don't know how you say it in Japanese, right? But I don't know if it'd make a difference if it was in a different language or not, because I didn't study this, right? But he would speak at it, and you could literally, he would video it with a microscope, and you could see it start turning black and things happening in the water and changing literally the water. And so sometimes I think we forget about the power of our words and the power of things that's being spoken over us and over about things around us, right? So, like, I actually did a study because I was going to see if this works in my life. So, like, you get bottled water, and then it says refreshed, right? Or signature. Or Dasani. What does Dasani mean? I don't even know what Dasani means. Like, I ain't drinking something. I don't know what it said. So I started drinking life water, right? And I was like, well, if what you say, what if what you write on it matters too? So when I see, are you getting water? I'm getting life water. There's life in that, right? And then I tried drinking smart water too, and I drank that for a while, but my wife said it wasn't working. So I went back to the other water, right? Now I'm trying it with coffee, right? I got bulletproof coffee. I was like, the way the world is nowadays, I need to be bulletproof. So I'm trying it with that too. But the thing being is our words matter. You know, our bodies are made up of a lot of water. A lot of water. Can you imagine? So what we're speaking and what we're saying matters to other people. What we're speaking and saying about our world matters. Are we coming with a place of anger and hate and malice, or are we coming in love? And are we coming in an encouragement? Are we going to speak life, or are we going to speak death? God said, you know what? You get a choice. He said, I'm going to give you the choice. He said, you can choose life, or you can choose death. Which one are you going to choose? Go and choose life. I want to choose what God's saying about a situation. I don't want to just be working out of my feelings. So here's what's cool is we see the fruit of the Spirit, and we're all trying to develop it, but we don't understand that's what the Spirit is. When we're living out of the Spirit, we have what? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness. What is that? It's a spirit, right? It's coming out of our spirit. It's who we really are, right? And so it's a gauge. To me, it's like a dashboard, right? You know, in my truck, like I got certain things that flash all the time. Like I got a check engine light, you know. And then this annoying thing comes on and says, you got to stop at the gas station, right? And I'm like, come on, I just put gas in this thing. I don't want to stop again, right? But every once in a while you see this set, check engine light, come on. And that's when I know I better pull over because I got to check my engine oil, right? There's something going on, right? Well, that's all that's happening in our life is we know when we're walking by our flesh, which our flesh is what? It's like just like a horse. It's when we're trying to survive instead of trying to like for horses, they got three responses, right? They're going to fight, or they're going to run, or they're just going to lay down and let you eat them, right? And so that's the flesh. That's what it's getting out of that fight and flight mode and resting in His love, resting in His peace, resting in His goodness, because He's that good. You can trust Him. So that tells me, am I walking in the flesh or am I walking in the Spirit? Am I trusting God to do something great in my life, or am I trying to make it all happen through my efforts? Because God's got a bigger plan for you than you even can imagine. He said He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could what? Ask or what? Or think, or desire. He said He is able to exceed those thoughts, exceed those desires, exceed everything that you think, oh, that's so, you're like, well, where is that from? Well, it's Father's Day, right? Do you know what the word desire means in Latin? That's where it comes from. Day, from, and the sire. Well, what's a sire? Well, we all have a sire, but I have a sire in my pasture. Going out there to feed horses the other day, and he's running out in the pasture, and he runs up, and like he had the sun just, he's a beautiful red dun, and he's just got the coolest, unique, most unique color I've ever seen, and then he's got this white on his face, and he was up by the fence, and I looked out there, and like he caught me off guard, and like literally, it's just like, whoa. And I looked at him, and I said, buddy, you might be the prettiest horse I ever seen. Right? He's a stallion. He's sired lots of babies, right? So he's a father. So a sire is what? It's a father. It's from the father. He gives us the desires of what? Our heart. Now you can tell who the father of your desire is. Is it about life? Or is it about death? Are you being fathered from the flesh, or are you living from what? From the Spirit. Are you trusting God? Are you trusting His plans for you? Are you trusting what He says about you? Because I promise, it's greater than what you can ever think, ask, or imagine. That's the Word of God, right? That's not what I come up with, right? I listened to a guy quite a bit, and I love him. He's kind of an entrepreneur guy, but he said, we need to be unrealistic about our expectations. Everybody who's ever done something, they did it because it wasn't what everyone else was doing or able to do. And so I was like, realistically, we need to be unrealistic. What are we tuning our life to? What are we making our plans to? Are we just seeing what we can see with these eyes and doing what everybody else is doing? Or are we trusting that we have a Father that's in heaven that's not far away, right? It's right here. It's near us, even in our mouth, in us, right? That wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And he's like, are you tuning to the flesh, to what you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell? Or are you seeing the promises of God and what He says about you? What He says about your life. See, we're not orphans. Even maybe you don't have an earthly dad, I don't know. Or you didn't know your earthly dad, or he was a scoundrel. But I want to tell you something, God is not like that. He's a good father, and He's with you, and He loves you. And He says, I will be your father, even when you can't see one on earth. And you can trust Him and know that He's for you and that He's here and that He loves you. And so I love that. I'm going to go to the scripture because like, man, whew, that bulletproof coffee just doesn't make it where you can't shoot me. It fires me up, man. Like, you ever know you're bulletproof? You can just kind of walk around. Yeah, go ahead. Right? So I love it. I'm going to go in Malachi. Wasn't where I was going to start, but I really feel strong. And I'm going to go, I'm going to read all of 4. And so Malachi chapter 4, it's a small chapter. There's only like 100 verses in there, and I'm going to go through every one of them. It says this, 4:1, surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace, all the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or branch will be left to them, but for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Anybody remember when Jesus was walking and there's this woman who was had an issue of blood. And so she's walking down and everybody's trying to press in and get to him. And she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know he will be healed. And so what did she do? She pressed through the crowd. She's like, I don't need him to pray for me. I don't even need him to acknowledge me. I don't need him to say a word to him. But I know if I can touch him, something will change in my life and I'm going to be healed. And she said it to herself before she even approached him. And that's why, what are you saying to yourself? Pretty important. But do you know, it's called a tallit. All the Jewish people would wear a tallit. And do you know what? On the bottom of the tallit, there's a thing and it was called wings. And it has a zitzi on the bottom too. And they each have a color and a meaning. And so when she was saying that, what she really was saying was, I know who you are. I know that you are the Son of Righteousness. And I know that you are coming with healing in your wings. And I know that if I can just touch you, my life will never be the same again. So what did she do? She touched the hem of his garment, and everybody's like, Jesus, like, who touched me? Right? Hey, who are you? And they're like, what do you mean, who touched me? Like, you're in a crowd, everybody's touching you, like, you're being mobbed, and you're like, who touched me? And he goes, no, someone touched me. Someone pulled from me something that all you guys are trying to touch me, but you're not really touching me. You guys are still looking at me as just a mere man, but someone saw who I was and who I am and reached out. And what did she do? She touched it, just the hem of his garment, and immediately she is what? She is healed. You know how dangerous that was for her to go into that? Because she had an issue of blood. Like, she couldn't go around her family. She couldn't go around her friends. She was basically ostracized and ostracized for years and years and years and years. She wasn't even supposed to be in that crowd. And do you know what they did to him if they caught him doing that stuff? They stoned him. They would have killed her. She literally was risking her life. But she saw something in Jesus. She saw a hope in Jesus. And she said, you know something? I don't care where I've been. I don't care what I've done. She spent all of her money, everything she had. She had no family. She probably didn't have much of a place to live. Couldn't be around people. She said, but if I can just touch that hem, I know that I'm going to be made whole. And so do you know what she did? She pressed in and she touched the hem of his garment. She is healed immediately. Jesus is like, who touched me? And he knew who touched him. He's like, man, I'm not here just to be a slogan, not just to be something that existed 2,000 years ago or something that's coming back. He says, I want you to know that I love you right here and right now, and I'm for you right here and right now. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you're going through, he said, that is not a problem for me. He says, I got a plan for your life, and it's bigger than you could ever imagine. Amen. In spite of you. So I keep thinking, I tell God all the time, like I used to, hey, I didn't want to be a preacher. My grandpa is a preacher, my dad's a preacher, and I was not going to be a preacher, right? So I was like, God, I want to be a preacher. And I was like, I suck at this. I stink. Like, I don't even want to do it. I ain't doing it. No. You don't know what I've done or where I've been or all this stuff. And you know what? God's funny. Because he literally told me, he goes, well, I ran out of perfect people. So I guess I'm just stuck with you. Right? I think that's a compliment, but I'm not sure. right? But he didn't sit up there and say, oh, I got a plan for your life, but I didn't see that coming. He don't do that. He's like, he's God. He loves you just like you are right where you are. And just like that woman with an issue of blood, he says, all you got to do, just reach to me. I got you. I love you. I'm for you, right? But it says, that's not even in my message, sorry. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with what? With healing in his wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses and the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all of Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Now watch this. Do you know this is the last verse in the Torah, which is the Old Testament? Watch this. He says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. But then he says this, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. So I think we live in a time where fatherhood is underappreciated, where we don't realize how valuable a father is and how valuable you are. And actually, being a father, we are literally representing God. You guys understand that? Like, we are literally representatives of God to our kids. And when our kids see us, they say, hey, that's my father. And so when they see us and they're like, oh, well, God says he's a father. And so when I want my kids to see me and hear me and talk about me, I want them to know that, hey, I'm not God, but I want you to know that God loves you. And I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that God's for you and that I'm for you and that you can come to me anytime, any place, no matter what is going on in your life, and I will help you. I got that with my kids. My kids know. Like, they know to come to me because I tell them and I've told them, I don't care what's going on. I don't care what you've done. I was like someone said, hey, I need some help, Dad. And I was like, well, you didn't kill someone, did you? They're like, no. But it's like, would that matter if I did? Could I still come to you? And I was like, maybe. It's like, you could still come to me. I just have to figure out how to help you roll it in a rug and get it out of here, right? My kids know me. They know what I'm saying to them. It's like, that I want them to be able to come to me for anything, at any time. And that's how our Heavenly Father is. He loves us that much. He's for us that much. He's like, you can come to me at any time with anything, and I will be there for you. He says, come to me, all who have it all together. What? Come to me, all who are perfect, who have just finished a bunch of coffee and are full of energy. Come to me, all who are what?
Weary.
And he says, I will give you what?
Rest.
He says, bring it to me, all that stuff, all that hurt, all those problems. Bring it to me because I want to give you rest, and I'm want to be there for you and change your life in ways you never even expected. Because he's that good, right? So, but it was 400 years from this verse till we see Matthew. 400 years. He says he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. And we don't hear nothing. Nothing. For 400 years, there's no scripture here. 400 years. You know how long that is? That's about how long the sermon is. 400 years, you don't hear nothing. And then it starts off with Matthew 1, this. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It says, I'm going to turn the hearts of the father to the children, the hearts of the children to what? To the fathers. He said, says, I want to bless you with my presence and with my love and with everything I have, and I want you to turn your heart towards me. And then 400 years later, what do we see? Boom, he starts off, hey, this is my son. And I'm sending him to die for you. And we're going to change that. And we're going to turn the hearts of the father to, and turn that around. Now, Matthew 7, verse 7. It says this, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be what? Opened. Now watch this. God's already talking. He says, I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, right? And then we see Jesus come on the scene. And what happens when Jesus comes on the scene? He gives his life for us. We see people that are dead getting raised, right? We see the lame walking. We see the blind eyes open. And then we see him die and rise again for us and bring life to us, right? So that we can have a restored relationship with the Father that's not just about do, but that's about it's a finished work that it's done, and we can rest in who he is. And now we have access, complete access to the Father. So Jesus is here. He's calling. He said, hey, Daddy. He's like, everyone's like, who's your daddy? He's like, well, I'll tell you. And then they tell him and they try to stone him. Right? They don't like it. But Jesus, here, this is, do you know who's talking here? Anybody got a Bible? Can you tell me what color that is? Matthew. It's Matthew. Is Matthew a color? I guess.
Marine crayons.
Yeah. What color is that? Those words in?
Red.
They're in red? What does that mean?
Jesus
who's speaking?
Jesus.
Okay, so here's Jesus speaking. And he's speaking about the Father. And he says this, ask and it will be what?
Given.
Now, again, who said this?
Jesus.
Okay. You guys are on it. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will what?
Be open.
For everyone who asks receives. For who?
Everyone.
Who? No, that can't be right. You guys got to misprint my Bible. Because mine says that if you're perfect. No? Yeah. No joke. For everyone? Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now watch this. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone?
A scone?
A scone. Yeah, a scone.
A scone?
A scone is technically bread, but...
Stone.
What?
Stone.
A stone. So you guys would give your son a stone? No? Hey, I want some bread. Oh, here's a rock. Like, where I come from, Where I grew up in Oklahoma, we didn't have a bunch of rocks, right? So that would have been cool to see a rock. Like, I'd have been like, this is cool, but it wouldn't have been cool to eat it, right? We had a lot more bread than we had rocks, right? But that's not cool. He says, or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. He's like, I want fish. Actually, to be honest, I've had both. And if I'm where I grew up at, I will take the snake. So this might be the only time that I kind of go back and forth with the Bible. Anybody ever had a rattlesnake, man? Oh, man, you fry that stuff up and, you know, put, oh, it's better than fish down there. Like, you go to the fish, like, all the water's muddy. And so the fish tastes like mud and ick and, you know. So you got to go to different areas. Like, where I'm from, you say, who would give, you know, your son a snake instead of fish? Everybody would raise their hand. We will, because the snake's a whole lot better than the fish down here, right? But if you're talking about right out here, like salmon, you guys, like I told everyone I don't like fish till I come up here. And then I started eating fish. Fish is pretty darn good up here. Now I can eat this fish. But my uncles, me and my cousins, it used to rain and overflow. And so it'd go into the wheat field. And so the catfish would get washed up in there. But they'd get really muddy and nasty and they'd start almost molten. So we'd go in with our hands and we'd take a bucket and we'd throw them in the bucket. And we're like, we got these fish, right? And they sting you. Like, it hurts, especially the little catfish. Anybody try to grab those? Like, we paid with pain to get these catfish in, and we had like seven of these suckers. And me and my cousins were going back with this bucket, and we got this fish in it, and we show my uncle, and his face just kind of turns like, oh, man, that's nasty. And he says, you know what, boys? If you catch it, you eat it. So guess what we had to do? He taught us how to clean it, and he had us eat it. And I never ate fish again until I come up here. Because it's nasty. It was rotten. It wasn't no good. Like, give me the rattlesnake, boys. Throw that away. Point being here is up here, you're going to take the fish. What he's trying to tell you is, I've got something greater. What you think is really bad, for being a Jew, you don't eat snakes. Right? So he's saying what you think is, like, you think that you ask the Father for something and he's going to give you something bad. And he's like, I got greater plans than you ever dreamed. Come to me. I'm a good God. I'm for you and I love you. And that's all he's trying to say here. He's like, if you're asking for, but all honesty, if I'm asking for fish, I want fish. Right? If I'm asking for bread, I'm hungry. I don't want a rock. That's what he's trying to say. I've got good things in store for you. I've got good plans in mind for you if you'll just trust me, right? So he says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, you know you're evil compared to God, right? In the flesh. He's like, If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Anybody like to bless their kids? I do. I love hanging with my kids. Like, we're down in Oklahoma, and we're going with my kids, and like, it come time to eat, guess what? We're getting your food. You know, because we love you. And it wasn't snake, I promise. Right? And then we're getting ready to leave, and we're driving with my daughter in her car back to the house, and then the next day my brother-in-law actually is going to take us to the airport, but I looked and I saw her gas tank. And so the next morning I got up, I said, hey, let's go to the gas station. I need to get something. She goes, okay, Dad. So she's just like happy to be with me. And so we drive to the gas station. And I was like, pull up there. She's like, why? So like, you need some gas. Like, I don't know. That's okay. I was like, nope. So what do? I pull in and I give her some gas. I only give her, I filled her tank up, which is cheap in Oklahoma, by the way. Oklahoma and Texas. Like, good Lord, what's up, Washington? You gotta fix that, right? Filled her tank up. Then we're driving home, and I was just thinking, I'm so thankful for her. I'm thankful for my son. I'm thankful for all my girls and my grandkids, and not because of what they do, but because of who they are. See, the thing here, though, she didn't ask me for gas. She didn't ask me for any of that. But I just wanted to bless her. You know why? Because I'm showing off. No, because I love her. And that's how our Heavenly Father is with you. There's things you haven't even asked for. Now again, he says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we what? Ask or think. Not just ask, but think. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Bible says we have not because we what? Ask not. I was like feeling my heart this morning, like, to encourage you guys to ask. So much of the time we just try to grunt through things, try to figure it out on our own, and God says, I got a way that's going to blow your mind. I got a thought process that's above yours. I want you to ask me. And dads, we got a way of gritting through stuff. See, I had a good dad. Still do, he's in heaven. My dad would literally lay down his life. Literally wouldn't eat until we ate. Literally would do anything he needed to make sure that we were all right. That's what you guys do and what you guys have done. There's a love that you have for your kids that is godly. And that it's from the Father. And there's a love that only you can love your kids with. So that's pretty important. So I want to encourage you guys. God sees you. God sees your heart. God knows who you are. Just ask. As dads, sometimes we put ourselves on the back burner. I want you to ask for yourself too. And watch what God does. Amen? So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for being faithful. Father, I just bless the dads here. I just thank you for the dads here. I thank you for the heart you have for them and how much you love them. And I just ask that you blow their minds with your heart for them, with how much you love them, and just show off in their lives like they never, ever imagined. And so we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.